brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome to the program, 1-800-8-ENYART. You can call Mondays from noon to 2 Eastern Time. We'll be taking some of your calls in the program. But first, a couple news stories. Saddam Hussein's son, his eldest son, Uday Hussein, he's a member of the parliament in Iraq, and he also runs a state newspaper called The Babel. And that's really the name of the paper. They just don't get it, do they? They don't get it. Reminds me of the very first Jew born in Israel after they became a nation in 1948. His parents named him Nimrod because they liked the name and they didn't know that it was the name of a bad guy in the Bible. It's like somebody today naming their kid Judas and saying, well, we didn't know. Well, anyway, the guy's newspaper is called The Babel. It's a daily paper. And in The Babel, he has urged the National Assembly to redraw the map of Greater Iraq to include Kuwait. He's urging their parliament there to redraw the map of Greater Iraq to include Kuwait. Apparently, he figures, hey, we want another shot at the Bush family. We want another shot at the Bush family, and W is going to get in there, George Bush Light. And so we want another go-round at this. But at any rate, he's complaining that the parliament's logo is the map of Iraq, and he says, our logo does not include all of Iraq's borders. It's specifically Kuwait City. So he urged changing the map of Iraq to include Kuwait City as part of Greater Iraq and adopting it as the logo of the representatives of the people in parliament. So his call for this came on the eve of the 10th anniversary of the launching of the Gulf War, which was, as his father called it, the mother of all retreats. I think he called it that. And so he called for this on the eve of the 10th anniversary of the launching of the Gulf War, which, of course, as you recall, led to us bombing the tar out of Baghdad and elsewhere in Iraq. The sad thing is that we left Saddam in power. That was the sad part. Two Palestinians were executed this past Saturday, but they were executed by Yasser Arafat. Not that he pulled the trigger, but they were executed for collaborating with the Israelis who have been bearing the brunt of terrorist attacks and responding to defend their nation and their people, their lands, and the lives of their citizens. They have taken to responding in kind, and if they can identify Palestinians who are planning or executing, actually executing Israeli citizens, then they, in military assaults, have been killing them. It's a mini war that's going on in Israel between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And so two Palestinians who have helped, apparently, they were accused, who knows what the truth is, of course, but they were accused with providing Israeli security services with information. For example, one, a 24-year-old guy, was executed for assisting Israeli forces in the car bomb killing of his cousin, a member of the terrorist group Hamas. So that's what's going on in Israel. In India, tens of millions of Hindus are taking a bath in the Ganges to wash their sins away. To wash their sins away. A polluted river to boot. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Let's go to the phones in Wisconsin. Bert, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am confused about the stand on the death penalty.
Okay.
I think the confusion lies within the doctrine of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, of which I have grown up in.
Okay.
You want me to start by stating what it is that I know? Or?
Yeah, and then you've called into this show, Bob Inyart Live. You're aware of our position, right?
Yes.
That we're pro-death penalty. Have you seen any of our material on the
death penalty? Yes, I have, and that's why, you know, I understand and I know from past experiences and the materials that I've received from you that there has to be biblical scripture to back up what you are saying.
Yeah, have you seen any of our death penalty material, like the death penalty video or the...
No, not as of yet, no.
Okay, all right. Okay, and so go ahead. Why don't you start with... So the Missouri Synod, they have a position on the death penalty.
Yeah.
And you want to tell us. Go right ahead.
Well, the pamphlet that I received, it states that the government has the authority to apply the death penalty. Period. And then it says, also, please bear with me, I have a visual problem. I'm doing this under my machine.
Oh, okay.
And it says...
So you have a machine that blows up the text so you can read it?
Yes. I'm legally blind, and this it's a CCTV, which enlarges small print to any size that I need to be able to catch it in my peripheral vision.
Bert, I'm thrilled that you have that kind of technology available. Do you project it onto a screen?
Yeah, it's like a small computer, actually, with a camera mounted and lights underneath.
All right.
And it can enhance very small print up to 12 times its original size.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. And then it says the authority of the government to apply the death penalty can be abused. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, it goes on to state that government is not required to exercise its right to administer the death penalty, and also there is no scriptural basis, one way or the other, that finds favor with God.
Okay.
And that's where my confusion lies.
Yeah, I think that sounds confusing because it is confusing. Normally, truth is not confusing.
Right.
And that's a contradictory statement. It's saying that the governing officials could be arbitrary in their administration of the ultimate punishment, the death penalty, that a human government could impose.
Correct.
So why would God say that, well, you could be arbitrary in the administration of the death penalty? That seems confusing, and I believe they're wrong.
Okay.
When they say that the government is not required to administer the death penalty in capital cases, I believe they're wrong there.
Okay.
And when they say that there could be abuse in administering the death penalty,
mm-hmm.
I think they've been neglectful there in not pointing out what God does in Ezekiel 13, that abuse in administering the death penalty is also when you keep people alive who should not live.
Exactly.
God says in Ezekiel 13:19, he says, "Will you profane me, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live?"
Ah.
So if you have a murderer, a convicted murderer, and you're a governing official, and you do not, you have the authority, but you do not execute that person, then you are profaning God, because God is the one who said to execute every murderer.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, and you're right with that arbitrary stance. You know, that is the same reason that they're so wishy-washy and namby-pamby on issues such as abortion and homos and mm-hmm. everything else. And I cannot get a straight answer out of the current pastor, and he keeps just handing me pamphlets as to the synod's stand, and I don't agree with it.
Right, so it's a very weak stand on the death penalty.
Exactly.
We have a video called God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, and it's pretty powerful. We've had a number of pacifists, like Quakers, for example, watch this video and then publicly repent and change their position and ask the congregation to forgive them because they have been sinning against God by opposing the death penalty.
Wow.
So we have some very strong material.
Okay. Yeah, that would be something I would definitely be interested in.
Yeah, yeah. We would like to get that to you. Who knows if your pastor would agree to watch it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It would be. I mean, I've confronted him on different issues also, and they're very apprehensive about even confronting a brother in sin, and you know, bringing it to the forefront to tell the truth. And I'm finding out that what the Bible says and what I've been taught, I've been very ignorant as to you know, the scriptural passages, and I've fallen into the category of church's rituals.
Bert, the sad thing here is that the Missouri Synod is the conservative branch of the Lutheran camp.
Right. They should be a lot stronger than what their doctrine states.
Exactly. All right, so when you said you had questions about the death penalty, I thought you were going to be a liberal.
Oh.
And I was ready for bear here.
Ah, okay.
But,
well, no, sir. I appreciate your stance on it very much. And the confusion lies is that, you know, it's always preached, you know, you're supposed to show mercy and everything else, but not to criminals.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand, and I was looking for biblical scripture to back up, you know, the institution of the death penalty, and I knew that you would be able to lead me to that.
Well, why don't we, do you have email?
No, I don't. I don't have access to a computer, and I can't read it.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a few verses.
Okay.
When they say that it's optional, it's not required.
Yes.
That flies in the face of some of the things that God said. For example, Leviticus 24, where God says, "Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death."
Okay.
That's Leviticus 24:17.
17, okay.
And he says, "You shall have the same law for the foreigner and for one from your own country." So that was not just for Israel.
Okay.
That's for, God values the life of any innocent person anywhere in the world, not just of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Numbers 35:31, God says, "You shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death."
Okay.
And this is a theme in the Bible where he says, your eyes should not show pity. You shouldn't show mercy,
mm-hmm.
but you have to execute.
Are there any new scripture verses that follow along that suit?
In the New Testament?
Yes. New Testament scriptures.
All right. In the New Testament, we have a number of passages that support the death penalty. For example, Revelation 13:10.
Okay.
"He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints."
Okay.
So the faith of the saints includes the vengeance against the murderer. "He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword."
Okay.
"Here is the faith of the saints," it says in Revelation 13:10. Could you hold on a moment?
Sure.
Bert, we'll take a break, and then we'll be back with a few more really powerful verses out of the New Testament.
Okay.
Bob Benyart Live is going to Israel March 21st through the 30th, 2001. We'll be leaving out of New York City for Tel Aviv. We'll spend a night in Tel Aviv, and then we'll go into the Holy Land. And I want to read you one of the days that we're going to be in Israel. It's going to be a very small group, about 40 or so people on a single bus, so you get to know and interact with other Bob Benyart Live fans from around the country. We're going to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, then visit the Mount of Beatitudes, site of the Sermon on the Mount, and the site of the miracles of the loaves and fishes. We're going to proceed to Capernaum and cross the River Jordan and visit Caesarea, Philippi, and the Golan Heights, then return to Tiberias for dinner and the evening. Now that's just one day. Wouldn't that be fun? You get to go to all these different places you've been reading about for so long in the Bible. You get to go on a nice, intimate trip with very few, and will be close friends by the end of the trip, I'm sure. You get to stay in 4-star hotels. because we do it right here, Bobby in Your Life. We don't mess around. You're not going to be staying in a youth hostel sleeping on dirt. You're going to be staying in a nice place, and you're going to enjoy yourself. Now, the price of the trip is $19.85 per person based on double occupancy. And if you want a room all by yourself, just add $300, and you can have a room all to yourself. Now, we need a down payment coming up in just a few short weeks. And if you can't swing that, we'll put in some extra money, and you can contact us a little later. But we need to hear from you to let us know that you want to go to Israel and spend a week with Bob. It is going to be great. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART, and let us know you're interested in the Israel Tour 2001. And everyone here at KGov Radio would like to express our sincere appreciation to each member of our listening audience. Thank you for the financial support you've given over the years and the support that continues to come in from all around America. This is a reminder that all the ministries you hear and hear about on KGOV depend on the faithful financial giving of listeners just like you. We ask you to consider the value of our programming every time you listen. Judge the content and its impact and make a financial contribution based on your decision. You can call anytime, 888-836-9278. That's 888-8-NYART. Make a contribution by credit card, pledge your monthly support, or sign up for one of our monthly tape series. You can also write us at KGOV Radio at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. We welcome your comments and your financial support. Call 888-836-9278 and support Bob Enyart Ministries and KGOV Radio.
We're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. I'll get to Bert in Wisconsin in a moment. But first this, we talked about profaning God by keeping people alive who should not live, by people who should be executed, Ezekiel 13:19. Our government has profaned God, in this case in Oklahoma, with two inmates, one of them a rapist murderer, the other a kidnapper, and additional crimes he's committed. They escaped from the state prison. Early this morning, 5 a.m., they were discovered missing from their cells. A 25-year-old guy and a 21-year-old guy. The 25-year-old guy was sentenced to life without parole for first-degree murder in November 1997. And he received an additional 400 years in prison for rape. How's that? So life plus 400 years. And the younger, 21-year-old, is serving a 20-year sentence for kidnapping and other charges. And they're on the loose. They're looking for them with dogs, tracking dogs, outside of the prison in McAllister, Oklahoma. We were on TV in McAllister for years. So far, they haven't found them. It's been some hours. Now, in neighboring Texas, if you recall this, from December, seven convicts escaped. They escaped from the maximum security unit in the prison they were in, southeast of San Antonio. And they're still at large. They're missing. And they have been charged with the Christmas Eve murder of a Dallas area police officer. And that's, of course, one of the problems when you've got guys with life in prison. What do they have to lose? And so they become murderer, rapist, kidnappers, thugs, bitter, evil, wicked. Hatred of God overflows within them. And a hatred for the judge, the prosecutor, the victims' families, themselves. They become animals. So we build these maximum security prisons that people escape from. And these guys, you know, they went to public school. They're not rocket scientists. And they get out because they're determined. God has given us a maximum security prison that we have access to. It's called hell. And you take a murderer, a convicted murderer, and you send him off to hell. Unless he repents, then you send him to heaven. And either way, it's a 100% deterrent because they will not murder again. What a tragedy. Let's go back to the phones in Wisconsin. Bert,
yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. You said you had some scripture that would support, that the death penalty is of God's law.
Right, in the New Testament.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Okay. We looked at the one verse, Revelation 13:10,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's now consider Paul when he was on trial in front of the governor in Caesarea. This is in Acts chapter 25.
Okay.
The governor's name was Porcius Festus. So it's Governor Festus.
Okay.
And in Acts 25:11, while Paul is on trial, he's the defendant, and he offers a defense of the death penalty. And he says, if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying.
Ah.
So the Apostle Paul is known for demanding his rights and that he be treated justly.
Okay.
He's known for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the death penalty was wrong, the Apostle Paul would say, I do not object to being put to death. If it's wrong, he would say, I object to that because it's wrong.
Yeah.
But he offers, and without any compulsion, he freely offers a support of the death penalty in Acts 25:11. If I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying, to being executed.
Oh, that is interesting because it's such the opposite view of the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now we have Revelation, the Apostle Paul, in writing. Now, Luke was recording Paul's words there in Acts 25.
Okay.
Luke is the author of Acts. But Paul wrote the letter of Romans, the epistle of Romans, to the Christians in Rome. And in that book, in chapter 13, verse 4, Paul says, if you do evil, be afraid. For the governing authority does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Oh, okay.
Now, when the governing authority bears the sword, he doesn't use the sword to flog someone.
Uh-huh.
He uses the sword to execute someone.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Paul says. The governing authority is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Okay, that's the same verse that they use, stating that it is the government authority to institute capital punishment.
Right. Yeah, that's a very strong verse, one of the strongest.
Okay.
One of the strongest. I'm only aware of people who've seen the death penalty video and Christians and reject and did not end up agreeing with the death penalty. The video that we put together here at Bob Benyart Live, the material is so strong that it persuades virtually every Christian who watches it. Now, I'm aware of one man who watched all 2 hours and rejected the death penalty still.
Hmm.
And when I asked him how could he do that in light of all this biblical material,
mm-hmm.
he wrote me a lengthy letter, and the crux of it was that he was saying that the book of Romans should not be in the Bible. That was his way of defending his opposition to the death penalty, because these passages are so strong. Because earlier, just like maybe less than 10 verses earlier in the book of Romans, in Revelation, Romans 12, the end of chapter 12, Paul writes, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. Give place to wrath, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Okay.
So God, the place for wrath is with God. Vengeance and wrath come from God.
Okay.
And we cannot, if someone harms me, I cannot take it in my own power to punish him.
Okay.
I have to go through the governing authorities, because God delegated the responsibility to them to unleash vengeance and wrath.
But unfortunately, our government authorities would give them life and a 400-year
yeah, right.
sentence.
Exactly. That's true. But so I can't avenge myself. I'm not allowed to do that. But if the governing authority will be God's minister, then he will bring vengeance, wrath, and Paul even says terror in the previous verse, verse 3 of Romans 13. So when Paul says give place to wrath, we ask, where is the place for wrath? And it's with God and God's ministers to whom he has delegated that responsibility.
I definitely have to get this video and see if I could present it as a Bible study and see what type of reaction I would get.
Oh, that would be exciting. And I would guess if they are Christians at your church, just sort of liberal and not well educated in the Bible, I would guess if they watch the video, they will end up strongly supporting the death penalty.
Yeah, there's so much dissension. I mean, it's amazing how split this church is on, regular issues, you know, topics that should be very strongly opposed one way or the other as a Christian.
Right.
And it tears me apart. And a lot of what I've learned, you know, through Bible study and Sunday school and everything growing up, I never really got a clear picture until I received a lot of your materials.
Well, that's very kind of you, Bert.
Like a second renaissance here, I'll tell you.
So. And you've got a struggle with some of our materials, although are you getting our audio tapes?
Yes, I am. I'm getting the Bible study and the Best of Bob right now, and his Sunday sermons.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that.
Oh, yes, and believe me, they have been extremely helpful. I mean, the clarity and everything that goes along with it, I get chills when I hear some of the things that you say.
Oh.
It is unbelievable the events that have taken place in my life due to hearing the Bible in that way.
Bert, how did you find out about this ministry?
Well, I lived in Daytona Beach for a short stint, 4.5 years actually, and you were on television. I was catching the reruns at noontime, not realizing that you were on live at midnight, and it just caught my attention, and I was I just couldn't get enough of it.
Well, we were never on in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, in South Daytona, I was getting it through one of the Christian channels.
We were on in Orlando.
Yeah, and it must have been an Orlando station that was being...
Rebroadcast.
Yes.
A repeater. Yes. So they had a repeater station, perhaps.
Yeah, but you were on during the day at noontime, because I would catch you right after I got home from community college, which was a mistake.
Huh?
And then you were supposedly on live at midnight.
Yeah, Last Chance College.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, you haven't seen our video, I would guess, because it's pretty new, Get Out of the Matrix.
And that's another one that I am ordering. I did receive some material where you had talked to a gentleman who was in that philosophy class, and I was telling your technician, Doug, that it's going to be... I want to hear that so bad, because that was exactly what I was up against, that type of thought process.
You will love it.
In that community college, yeah.
Bert, it is so much...
Like, it's going to be extremely riveting.
It's so much fun. We think it's perhaps the best video footage we have ever captured on tape.
Yeah, but you would not.
You
would not believe how much that is in entangled in the schooling that they give you in every class. That philosophy, they want you to, like you say, deny your five senses.
Right. Exactly.
And, worship them. They are the boss.
Right.
And you rise up against that, and they will show you they don't want you there then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping, and I was praying for this gentleman that he got through his last week of class okay, and presented his question of, was it absolutely wrong to violently rape a woman?
Well, and, I have heard from him.
Yes.
His name is John Hatrum.
Okay.
And he said, remember in the video, the teacher, I pressed the teacher on that question.
Uh-huh.
And at first she won't answer. Is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? She won't answer it. Then she does answer it because she's intimidated, and she answers, yes, it's wrong. But it turns out she was lying.
Yeah.
Because later in a future class, she retracted that. Not in those words, but she's maintained that there is no such thing as absolute right or wrong. So she was humiliated in front of the class when she was being challenged to answer what she knew in her gut was true. But she doesn't want to stay with what she knows is true, because then there's a God who will judge her.
Right.
So she has to deny God, deny right and wrong, so she could defend her pitiful existence.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the same way that the whole college, you know, presents itself. I had a world religion class, which up until 3 years ago, they were not even allowed to teach Christianity. And supposedly the instructor was a very staunch Christian. So I brought him some of your materials that I had from ShadowGov, and I told him about your dyke off and your gay away.
Uh-oh.
And he thought that was so sad, because he had so many Christian friends who were homosexuals.
Right.
And I was like...
And why, in a world religions class, why could they not teach Christianity? What's the reason?
They said that that was not part of world religion. They were looking... Yeah. Yeah.
And oh, so
the only thing that they really did bring out is that the archaeologists who set out to destroy Christianity by, you know, living proof, found that the Bible turned out to be a more accurate description, historic document than what they thought previous.
Well, that has been true of many, many archaeologists. But so they did give, they did tell that story, one of those stories in the class.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
That was their brief stint on Christianity.
Well, certainly it was positive.
Yeah, that was positive, and they also had us read The Carpenter by Mr. McDowell,
Josh McDowell,
a small book.
Yeah.
But in conjunction with that, we also, it was mandatory that we had to read Siddhartha, which was all about Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then come to our own conclusions.
Well, in a world religions class, it's reasonable, of course, to study Buddhism and Hinduism and
Jainism and
Zoroastrianism and
yeah,
maybe even the Incas and the Aztecs and on and on. But to omit Christianity, because it's not a world religion, seems bizarre.
That's what he had said.
Right. How about Judaism?
Well, Judaism was included. Everything, let's see, as far as the American Indian stand. But it was very interesting that it was presented in a way of, like I said, a positive light.
All right.
But,
well, Bert, I want to thank you for calling in about this.
Well, I appreciate the information, I definitely would like to stay on and see if I could get that death penalty video.
Okay, I'm thrilled to hear that. Sure, we'll be happy to do that. And maybe you could show it to your church or a Sunday school class or your pastor and report back to us.
Yeah, I would be glad to do that. We're trying to get together a men's Bible study, and this would be an excellent topic to start off on.
Yeah, especially with men.
Yes.
Right, get a little testosterone flowing in the group.
Exactly.
Yeah, and let's see, what else did I want to let you know? Oh, you and I have talked so long, we've lost a couple callers in the meantime, which is fine. You know, we invite people to call back if they can't stay on hold as long as they've had to. But I am so thankful that we have had the opportunity to reach out, for example, when we were on TV, and to become friends with you. Living in Daytona Beach, Florida, we would have never met, most likely, if it hadn't been for the people who have supported this ministry, helping us to get the word out, and now there are thousands of people. Bert, we have sent out approaching 50,000 tapes, audio and video tapes,
wow,
and millions of sheets of paper on Bible study material, and government, and moral issues, and social debates. And so it's thanks to the people who have supported us that we've been able to do this. And
well, it's one of the blessings that I received was I was able to get the plot in manuscript form when it first came out.
Well, how did you read it?
Well, under my machine.
Oh, my. What a task.
Yeah, it was quite a bit. But that's how I've done a lot of my my schooling, and I also used the computer at the school. I fed it into, they had a flatbed scanner, which I fed it into, and then the computer would read it to me.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so if my eyes got tired using the TV, there was another alternative. So.
Bert, you're amazing. I'm so thrilled. Please call us back, okay?
I will. I will definitely let you know what happens.
And I'm going to put you on hold, and God bless you. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back with a question from Tulsa on the rapture.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyart tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931. And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYART. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism. Folks, get the video. Bob debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
We're back with Deja Vu all over again. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I remember I got in trouble on TV about 3 years ago because of one of their press releases saying that milk is racist because it was white and it discriminated against black kids in school. And so I suggested chocolate milk, and that was it. That created a firestorm. I couldn't figure that out. But anyway, they're back again with a new press release about milk being racist. So we'll get to that in a bit. But first, let's go to the phones. Line 2 here, right? Yeah, we've got Shirley. Shirley, speak your mind.
Hello. My son came back from California. Now, this ain't a young boy. He's 39 years old.
Yeah.
And he told me that he talked to somebody out there in California that said, the rapture is a bunch of hoopla.
Okay.
And that if we don't know it's Jesus, if we'll pinch ourselves, it says in the Bible, then we'll know. And I said, Frank, you've grown up knowing different.
Yeah, there are Christians who teach strongly that there's no such thing as the rapture.
Yeah.
Many, not all, but many of those Christians teach that the book of Revelation is all past.
Right.
It's all past history. It occurred back in A.D. 70 when Rome destroyed Jerusalem.
Right.
Of course, the book of Revelation is about the New Jerusalem and God's wrath, not the wrath of pagans against believers, but the wrath of God against the world.
Yeah.
That's what the book of Revelation is about. So we deal with these topics at length, Shirley, in our Bible study materials. In fact, we're studying the book of Revelation right now.
Really?
Yeah, right now we are in our part two of our series. We have two albums on the book of Revelation, two six-tape albums, and we are in Revelation, the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. This very week, we're in the middle of that.
Oh, well, then I need to get that because he confused me so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he did because I guess this guy is really convincing.
Well, does he study the Bible a lot?
Oh, he's educationally handicapped, reading.
Yeah.
He can't really read, so he relies on people. I tell him, no, what we need to do is get you the Bible on tape. You need to listen for yourself.
That's a great idea.
You know, or something, because you can't, the devil is going to preach you right to hell.
Well, but not regarding the rapture, right? What if Frank never believes in the rapture? Would that mean that he would go to hell?
No, I don't think so.
Right, because your salvation is not dependent on that. Your salvation is dependent on turning to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And putting your faith in him for your salvation.
But if it's so easy for him to turn and say, well, there isn't a rapture, and we'll know when God steps his foot on the ground that it's him if we pinch ourselves and everything. If it's so easy for all that training to go down the tubes that easy.
Yeah.
Well, then it seems like it'd be easy to really turn around, which
Shirley,
I wouldn't want.
You know, people can be very persuasive.
Right.
People have the gift of, you've heard of the gift of evangelism, right? And the gift
right.
of teaching.
Right.
Well, God gave us these gifts as the human race.
Right.
We all are born with gifts. And if someone is evil, they will use their gifts for evil, like Ted Turner, who's losing control of his own empire that he built. But Ted Turner uses his gift of evangelism to evangelize for wickedness.
Right.
And a teacher has the ability to teach. It's innate. You could practice and you could learn and you could become a better teacher. But some people are born with the gift
right.
to persuade. And if someone's evil, they'll use those gifts for evil. If they love God, they'll use those gifts for righteousness. But let's say they love God, but they are ignorant. They're not well informed about the Bible.
Yeah.
Then they will use their very powerful gifts to misinform others. And so people like Frank will come under the teaching of someone who is misinformed, but perhaps loves God dearly and wants
right.
to serve God, but he'll lead some people astray in some areas.
Right.
I think, Shirley, that I most likely do that in some areas because I know that I am not infallible.
Right.
I'm not God, and I don't have the perfect understanding of his word that I would like to have. So therefore, since I've been teaching the Bible for almost a quarter of a century, undoubtedly, I've come across verses and stories that I've misinterpreted and misinformed people on. So my goal is to know Christ increasingly through my life, to know him better and better by knowing his word. And so that the more I get an overview of his whole Bible and I work through it then detail by detail, I'm on safer ground. And I'll make fewer and fewer errors, and the people I teach will be in better shape.
Yes, well, the first time I heard you was here in Muskogee about a year ago. You was on really early in the morning. I accidentally found you.
Right.
And I just was so impressed with your Bible teaching.
Oh.
Of course, now I haven't found you anymore.
Well, that's very kind of you, Shirley, and I'm glad you found us on the Internet.
No, I wasn't on the internet.
Oh.
I found an old letter of yours and decided to call, so maybe you could help straighten this out with my son, you know?
Well, the best thing I could think of is that we have many of our Bible studies on tape, on audio tape.
Yeah, that's what I need to do is really get into that.
Yeah, and since you said that Frank is educationally handicapped, that he can't read well, getting him the Bible on tape is a great, great idea. And we, of course, would be thrilled. It encourage us to realize if he's listening to our Bible teaching tapes, that'll be another source for him to get what we believe is solid Bible teaching.
Right.
Because God gave the gift of teaching.
Right.
He gave us for the edification of the body of Christ. He gave the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And therefore, we try to exercise the gifts that God has given us so that we can teach and help people.
Yeah.
And this is a great opportunity here. We could use Frank as a test case and see how good our teaching materials are.
Good.
So why don't I put you on hold, and you could talk to one of our staff members here and try to figure out what would be best to start Frank on.
Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, Shirley. It's a real pleasure to talk with you, and we'll be back in a moment.
Twenty years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helen blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helen, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata, and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Inyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Inyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-INYART.
And we're back, and we're almost out of time. And I didn't even get to the story that I really wanted to get to. I've got a pile of news here. I guess we'll do this in tomorrow's show with more callers. But Drudge, last night, Sunday night, Drudge is on, the Drudge Report on radio. And he takes calls from, what is he on, 100 cities around the country. And he's doing very well in his two-hour time slot. Sunday evening, he's on in Denver from 8 to 10, live on KOA, our most powerful radio station here in Colorado. And Drudge, I like this music in the background. This is nice. Maybe we should put a music bed under our segments from now on. All right, Drudge, he's doing so well. In New York City, for example, he's got a 9 share. That's almost, I mean, that's tremendous, especially in a major market with so many radio stations. They've got to have 60 radio stations in New York City, I would imagine. And so he's doing pretty well. Now, in South Bend, Indiana, we pulled a 10 and a 12 share. So we won't hold that over Drudge's head or anything. But last night, he did his whole show, a goodbye to Bill Clinton, invited people to call in from all over the country with whatever it is they'd like to say to Bill Clinton. And so about his fifth caller talked all about and only about Clinton raping Juanita Broderick and the protests that have been that have resulted from that, with these huge Clinton rapist signs from New Zealand to Martha's Vineyard to Aspen, Colorado, just all over the country a few weeks ago in Kearney, Nebraska. And that call, it sort of sounded a lot like me. That's what Doug said. He couldn't recognize the voice, but it sounded like it was me. I got through. I was thrilled to get through. When he announced what he was doing, I had my son in the car and a friend, Dave, and I said, I've just got to get through on this show. And so we programmed the number into my cell phone, and the second a caller, 7 seconds before every caller hung up, I dialed. And that's the key, because if they're on a 7-second delay, then they hang up 7 seconds before anyone else realizes they've hung up. So if you could predict, you'll increase your odds of getting on a national show. So 7 seconds early, hit send, and bammo, we're on the air with Matt Drudge. And I think it went very well. We're going to try to find an archive of that on the web. Now, we haven't been able to find it. And if somebody knows one of the stations that Drudge is on, and perhaps they've archived his show, we cannot find it from yesterday. That would be January 14th, Sunday night, 2001. And it was about 20 minutes into the program. So if you know of a Drudge archive out there on the web, please email us and let us know. We've been unable to find it, but we'd like to get the clip and play it for you. So are we going to take these calls this show still? Okay, we'll take this one right now. We'll go to D.C. Jason, speak your mind.
Aloha, Bob. How are you doing?
Jason Jones, how are you?
All right, I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. We're just at the end of a show here. What's up?
Well, I was watching the news yesterday, and there seems to be a population crisis. Stephen Hawking.
Uh-oh.
Came out with a press conference, and all the news stations covered it. And they covered it seriously.
Did he say there are too many people in wheelchairs?
No,
gotta
he
throw
didn't
them
say
off
that.
A cliff.
But he said, but that's. I think that there's. I'd like to see a debate between him and Peter Singer.
Oh yeah, right.
That'd be interesting.
Hey, you're good, Jason. You are good. Peter Singer is the Princeton professor who thinks that we should do away with people because they're not worth much, especially if they're handicapped.
Yeah, I read an interview. I want to get to my point. What you said first, because I don't know how much time we have left. But
yeah.
He came out and said by the year 2600.
2600?
By the year 2600.
We'll have a trillion people.
People are going to be standing shoulder to shoulder.
Oh,
we need to do something about it now.
He said that? Shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, by the year 2600.
You know, the Machiavellian view that, well, not even Machiavellian, but the view that it's all dog-eat-dog. And we all have to kill one another for
Peter Singer, people eat people.
Yeah, right, for our own survival. And even in the animal kingdom, liberals have thought, and this is what gave rise to the theory of evolution, that animals and plants are always living on the brink of extermination, always on the brink of starvation, and that's the only thing that limits their population growth. And it turns out biologists are teaching us and zoologists that that's not true at all. And for animal populations to get to the point of starvation, is a rare occurrence. And it's normal that God has built into species, into tens of thousands of species, natural inhibitors so that they fill out, they take advantage of their space and their resources, and then their population stays at a stasis point.
Well, that's great. And but they just hate people, though. That's the real thing.
Right, they hate people. So 2600...
By the year 20, it's a real emergency on our hands.
600
here.
Years from now, we'll be standing shoulder to shoulder. Did he calculate how many people that would be?
And I didn't catch that. It was absurd.
And I wonder if he's including high-rises.
I don't know.
Yeah, shoulder.
I don't know if he's including high-rises, but you know, also, I read Peter Singer's new book this week, and I didn't want to purchase it, so I sat in the bookstore and read the whole thing.
Yeah? Oh, you're kidding me. You did that? It must be a nice bookstore.
That's nice. Books a Million. I don't know if it's a chain or what, or if it's just out here in Virginia.
You have a cafe latte sitting on an end table next to you?
Yeah, that was it. Just sitting there reading. And in it, he said that, you know, where does this idea that human life has value, where does it come from? And he said it, you know, like it's an attack against Christianity. It doesn't come from Greece or Rome or from the Enlightenment.
Did he say that?
It comes from Christians.
He said that?
He said that.
Isn't that marvelous?
The idea that human life has value, inherent value, comes from Christianity.
Isn't that marvelous that our enemy can identify that?
Yeah, I just read that and I couldn't believe it.
It shows how evil he is, but how glorious Jesus Christ is.
That's right. Even he thinks he's condemning us, and he's showing how great the Lord is and how great he is in us.
Right, exactly. We should take out that quote as a call out and post it on our websites.
Yeah, it's in his book. It's his newest book. Writings. I think it's just called Peter Singer's Writings on Ethics.
Oh, great.
And in it, he argues that the left no longer should look to Marx. We should look to Darwin.
Darwin.
To find our base, because human beings aren't malleable as Marx thought they were, and that we have to look at the survival of the fittest. And he also talks about, though, that maybe through technology and through drugs, we can make human beings malleable.
Mm.
So.
Well, and it seems to be a contradictory position, because evolution would suggest that we are infinitely malleable. I mean, we've evolved through every opportunity that nature and our existence has thrown at us. We've changed.
Hey, you're right, Bob. You're brilliant. I'd love to see you debate that guy.
Oh, that would be epic. Hey, who knows? Maybe that's possible.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Maybe that is
possible. I don't think he's got the courage.
We've never tried it. We'll just tell them it's a little radio station out in Denver, KGOV.
That's right.
And we'll get them on under false pretenses.
That'd be great, but I'm also excited. I've never been to the pro-life march here in D.C. I've always been to the little ones in Hawaii.
Oh, and it's coming up for the anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
All right, very good. I wish I could be there, Jason. You and I have never met.
We have met, Bob. I don't know if you remember. We met a few years ago in Hawaii at one of your...
I am so embarrassed for saying that, Jason.
All right.
My mind. I'm losing my mind.
Well, it was years ago.
Well, I was going to say that our friendship has spanned the globe from Hawaii to Washington, D.C. And I remember you were going to stop here in Denver some months back, but that just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I brought that up to say I can't wait to see you and to see you again, Jason.
Definitely, Bob.
Okay.
I really didn't talk to you. I just sat there quietly and took notes.
God bless you. And sorry we had such little time to talk today, but we'll have to chat again.
All right, God bless you, Bob.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.